You're listening to the Restoration Church podcast. And due to the current COVID-19 pandemic, we're still unable to gather as a whole family for worship. But we're confident that as we are scattered, God is still building his church. So you can watch our videos of our Sunday gatherings on Facebook Live on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. or go get home church resources and the videos at restorationlex.com/this week. Again, thanks so much for listening. What's happening, Restoration Home Churches? Good to be with you, folks watching, listening all over the place. It's an honor to have you with us. My name's Justin, if we haven't met, and I'm just glad you're here, man. And we're going to jump right into the text for today, which is Psalm chapter 1. So if you have a Bible or an app on your phone, you want to follow along on the screen, I want you to read with us and study with us. So let's jump right in. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Here's what it says. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prospers. You know, you and I, we are the product of the stories that we immerse ourselves in. This is one of the primary learnings we get from the life of a man by the name of Hiro Onoda. I don't know if you've heard his story before, but as it goes, in February of 1945, Allied forces attack Lubang Island in the Philippines. Japanese soldiers were stationed there, and most of them were either captured or killed, but three of them escaped into the mountains, and one of those three was Hiro Onoda. He was an intelligence officer. He was a fierce loyalist to the emperor. He even believed that it was his sacred duty to fight in war. And even after the war was over, these soldiers continued to fight. Two of them died off, and the villagers continued to tell him, hey, listen, Hiro, the war is over. They showed him flyers that said Japan had surrendered. But he said, no, it's just propaganda. I'm continuing to fight. And he continued to attack villagers over and over, year after year after year. And it wasn't until March of 1974, 29 years after the end of World War II, that Hiro finally surrendered. And it was only because his commanding officer from 29 years before flew to the Philippines and gave him the orders directly. Think about that, 29 years living in a story that wasn't true. I think about this a lot in the days we find ourselves in when we don't really know what to believe. I mean, everybody's got competing narratives. They have agendas. Everybody's trying to get our attention. Everybody's trying to get our loyalty. And I hear people asking over and over again, how can people have the facts right in front of their face and yet they still don't believe it? I mean, how can a man like Hiro Onoda be told over and over again that the war is over and yet he still lives as if it was happening? Well, my friends, it's because we are all the product of the stories that we immerse ourselves in. And what Psalm 1 is inviting us to do is to immerse ourselves in the story of God, in the word of God spoken to us. Let's look again at verse 1 and see what it says. It says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. Now notice there's three postures just there in that one verse. There's walking, there is standing, and there's sitting. It's almost as if when you're walking along the path of the wicked, you're kind of passing through at first, but then you see something, and you slow down, and then you stand. And after a while, you just sit and make yourself at home. And it says, in the company of mockers. I find that kind of odd, that when you use this terminology of the path of the wicked, that doesn't lead to something like murder or adultery or liars or cheat, something like that. It says, when you follow the path of the wicked, you sit in the company of mockers. Or as some of our older translations have said, scoffers. Now, what does that mean? I love how Eugene Peterson brilliantly describes what mockers or scoffers are. Here's what he says. Scoffers look down on those who haven't the sense to take a position. They sit in the company of know-it-alls, a place of cynicism, gossip, and superficial witticisms. They hold nothing in authority but their own cleverness. No judge sits over them. No counsel informs them. They are intoxicated with verbal wine and drunkenly survey the world, blearily reading into their own confusion and malaise. Dang. Now I have to ask you, does that sound familiar? Does that not sound like the majority of political and cultural rhetoric that you and I are swimming in on a daily basis? These are the voices that are calling out to us. These are the voices that are inviting us to take the path of the wicked, to slow down, to stand and to sit with them, to engage with the scoffers. But Psalms 1 is calling us away from this life, my friends, away from these false narratives, away from the path of the wicked, and into a life that's been reoriented around the blessing of God. Here's what it says in verse 2. It says, "Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night." Now, right up front, there's a couple of words I want to make sure that we as modern readers don't get hung up on. And the first one here is law. Now you might hear that meditate on the law and think, I mean, is this like studying for the bar exam? What's happening here? No, that's not what it's talking about. This word law in the Hebrew is literally Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible. And it's the commands of God that, yeah, they're great, they're beautiful, they're true. But it's also the story of God. It's also the story of God's people and how they were formed into who they are. So the psalmist is saying to meditate on the law. This word meditate, man, I know it's got a lot of different modern connotations. You may come from an Eastern perspective that empties yourself of yourself, or you may just picture a monk on a hill making noise far away from everybody. I don't know. I just want to clear it up and say that those are not what the Bible is talking about when it talks about meditating. In fact, this word meditate in this passage is the Hebrew word haggah, which is literally translated as, get this, to moan or to growl. Now, you may hear that and think, that's weird, and you are correct. That is weird. I mean, why would they translate this word meditate from a word that means growling and moaning? Well, in another context, in Isaiah 31:4, it's used to describe a lion that is growling haggah over its prey. So think about it this way. You've had this long, hard day at work. You're exhausted. You come home. You're starving. You walk through the front door. You go out back. You fire up the grill. You throw on a burger. And you let that thing cook to perfection. And right at the end, you put the cheese on. You get all the seasonings and the condiments, the lettuce and the tomato and the bun, and after the long, hard day at work, you take that first bite of burger and haggah. I mean, it could probably loosely be translated in English as You know, when you eat something and it's just like You know, you don't just eat that stuff fast. You savor every single bite. You let every single note and flavor come out. You're literally delighting in the meal that is before you. And that, my friends, is what biblical meditation is. To meditate on the scriptures is to savor, to taste, to chew on, to digest, to delight in the story of God. And that's what the psalmist is inviting us to do. To not just read the Bible, that's good, but don't just read the Bible, sit with it, savor it. Allow every single little note to come out as you digest it and enjoy it and delight in it for all that it is. My friends, meditation is not leaving reality. Meditation, according to the scriptures, is allowing our reality to be soaked in the story of God in a way that reorients us in a world with a lot of competing stories. And the fruit of this, according to verse 3, is this. It says that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Think about it. A tree that's planted by streams of water has its roots growing down into a source that will not run dry. Other trees, they grow too, but seasons come and go. Storms can come, circumstances change. But for those who are soaked in the story of God, but for those who have meditated on the law of the Lord and delight in it, we have our roots down deep in the living waters that will never run dry. Doesn't mean, my friends, that life won't get hard. No. But it does mean that when these storms come, when these trials come, that in the midst of it, we will not wither, that we will not fade. In the midst of every single storm, that God will continue to make us fruitful, not because of anything we've done, but because we have grown down our roots in the living waters that will never run dry. Whew, man. When we soak ourselves in this story of God, we're rooted in an unchanging God, in an ever-changing world. And man, what could be better news than that right now? Let me talk to you just from a heart restoration. I've been praying about where we are to head in the days ahead as we move into the fall. I mean, right now, all around us, it seems like there's chaos. I mean, there's racial unrest. There's rioting. We've started back to school, and that's different. And worst of all, we're about to head into election season. And perhaps the biggest danger in the midst of the days ahead to our faith is that we would settle for lesser stories. We would settle for political stories. We would settle for cultural stories. We would settle for national stories that define us more and compel us more than the story of God that is revealing Jesus Christ. My biggest concern for us, for all believers in these days, is that we allow the story of God to redefine and reorient our lives above and over the stories that call for our attention and our affection day in and day out, that we would be so rooted that as these storms come, and they are coming, we have a source. We have a life that will not run dry. Which has led to the conviction that we need to, as a community, soak deeper into the story of God, grow deeper into the scriptures that are revealing the gospel of Jesus Christ that has come to restore people who restore the world. So here in a couple of weeks, we're starting a brand new experience that will go into the next year called Restoried, which is literally taking the stories we've known about God and reorienting our lives around them. We're going to go starting in Genesis and move through to the New Testament and look at different stories about how they reveal the character of God and what that means for the world we find ourselves in. Man, I'm so excited. And I'm praying for you, praying for our home churches, that in the days ahead, that we would be rooted and established by the streams of living water. So this week, home churches, individuals, I want to challenge you. Individuals, I want you to take Psalm 1, take any scripture, and I want you to not just read it this week. I want you to haggah. I want you to savor it. So take something like Psalms 1 and read it repeatedly. Maybe cut it out after you print it out, put it in your car, put it in your cubicle at work, put it where you'll see it. Constantly be thinking and chewing on the scriptures, something God is saying in his word, and watch what happens. And then, as you gather with your home churches, I want you to talk about what the Lord is speaking to you through his scriptures, through his word that is living and active. And it's living and active because the God who speaks in it is still living and active in us. So this week, as individuals and as home churches, haggah. Meditate, chew on, savor the word of God. So you're going to find questions that help you, resources pointing you forward at restorationlex.com/this week. You can give there. Keep giving, my friends, because Lord, You're doing a lot of good work through Pampering Pathways at William Mills Brown. We are being generous, and I'm so grateful that you guys continue to be generous and so that we can be good news in our city. There's kids resources, prayer request stuff, everything you need there, restorationlex.com/this week. So next week, we're going to talk about what it means to study the Bible and what that looks like. I'm excited to talk about that so we can process that in our home churches. And then after that, we're jumping into this restored journey together. So we love you guys. I'm praying for our home churches, praying for you as individuals this week, knowing the Lord is going to do great things among us. I believe that with all my heart. I love you. I'll see you back here in this space next week.